God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to say a big thank you to all of those that helped make last Sunday evening an overwhelming success. Many great compliments about how everything went. The food, just the fun, the festivities. And I want to say thank you as pastor. Many of you that helped out, pitched in, just cleaned up, picked up, made things much easier for my family. And I thank you for that. And it was just a good time. As some stated, it was a great time just to be together in fellowship. And couldn't ask for a much better evening as far as weather was concerned. And I just had such a great time together. And if you didn't come, you missed it. Again, thank you so much for all of your hard work and help and putting that on, making that happen. And we say a big, big thank you. We are continuing tonight in our study. We started it last week, launched it last week, if you will, a study I've entitled Transition. Essentially, what we're talking about is the definition of transition, the process of changing from one state or condition to another. In introducing it last week, we talked about how that it is God's will that we transition, that we be changed into His image from glory to glory, that we, as individuals, not only do we transition personally, naturally, but also spiritually, that we reach new levels, that we go on to bigger and better things. As the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the things which are before, the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so we're continuing in this study, and we kind of introduced last week what we would talk about this week. But real quickly, just kind of want to review what we talked about last week in the beginning or the first lesson. We entitled the lesson, Good Begins Where the Bad Ends. And we talked about how that there are necessary endings. If we're going to transition, if we're going to move or change from one state or condition to another, then we have to stop the process. We have to essentially end the bad so that the good can begin. And we talked about those necessary endings that are not always comfortable. Many times they're awkward, but they're necessary. They're in order for us to move on, in order for us to go forward. And I have to admit, there's sometimes when I launch out into a new study, even though I feel directed by God in doing so, there's times when I bring that new study and teach, and then afterwards I'm like, man, did I miss it? Was I right? Was this needed? You know, all those, I'm human, and so those questions come and arise. And I want to thank you. Some of you I got feedback from, and that's always good. I'll even take corrective criticism. That's you know, I'm okay with that as well. But some of you even shared your personal experiences with me, personal testimonies of how you came to a point in time in your life where a necessary ending had to take place in order to transition. And now, You realize that you're better off because you did that, because you did make that necessary ending and that transition from one state into another. And so tonight, we're going to lesson two, and I've entitled it, Pruning the Superfluous. Now, does anybody know what that word means, superfluous? Any takers? No? Maybe? Go ahead, Brother Alex. Okay, maybe. Okay. Essentially, it means excessive or non-essential. Superfluous essentially means that it's something that's really not needed. It's stuff that can be, and as we'll understand in the study, detrimental. It's the excess baggage, if you will. It's stuff that, and maybe even on the surface, may seem good, and it might be good to some extent, but in order for us to transition to being better, we have to prune it. We have to cut it back. And so tonight we're talking about, we kind of introduced the study or what we were going to talk about last week, this week, and I brought up a natural understanding, and we're gonna deal with a little bit more. Those of you that are familiar with gardening at all, you know that there are plants, much like the rose bush, that in order for it to grow as it should, there has to be pruning. You have to cut away, even though there's buds that may seem like they're going to develop and seem good. You have to, for the favor of the good ones and the ones that are going to mature and come to full bloom, you have to prune or cut back. And so tonight we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about pruning the superfluous, those things that are excessive, those things that are really non-essential to us growing and transitioning. And so we're gonna look at a passage of scriptures found in John 15. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. In the NIV, it reads like this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, last week we talked about those necessary endings, those things that had to stop, those things that essentially had to be cut away. That if we're going to grow, if we're going to transition, if we're going to mature in the things of God, then certain things we have to come to an understanding, they have to stop. They have to be cut off. Well, tonight we're going to talk about those things that maybe not necessarily have to be completely cut off, but have to be cut back. Those things in our life that that maybe as we survey and look, those things that are really not adding to the grand scheme, those things that are not prompting me and pushing me to become better. It may not be that these things are even bad. It just may be that there may be an excess. It may be a hobby. It may be a relationship. It may be something that I'm attached to or I have an affinity for. That in as far as me growing and maturing in the things of God, I'm not going to reach my full potential. Or in symbology of the rose bush, I'm not going to reach my full bloom until I learn how to adequately prune. How to cut back those things that are stealing the resources. Those things that are taking of my time, my talent, and my treasure. But they're not pushing me to be who I can be in God. And so that's essentially what we're going to talk about tonight. And I want you to pay particular attention to this passage of scripture, because when you look at verse number 2 of John chapter 15, you'll see that the first two lessons are essentially in this one verse. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's lesson 1. That's the necessary endings. That's the good begins where the bad ends. That's the cutting away the branch. That's the things that are we know are detrimental. Those things that we know are robbing from our overall growth and development. Those things that we know that if we don't stop the cycle and we don't get rid of those things or stop those things or end those things, it's not going to be good for us. The bad will continue. And so we find that in the first passage of verse number 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. That's where we are tonight. That's lesson 2. That's the pruning the superfluous. It's taking those things that may be excessive, and those, even though I may be producing fruit, it is God's will that I produce more fruit. Even though I may be doing good things, it's God's will that I do better things. Yeah, understand that. And we have to be careful that we don't get caught in this state of complacency where we feel like everything's good and everything's all right. We need to understand that if we're truly allowing God to do his work, there's going to be pruning in our lives. There's going to be superfluous things that God says you need to cut those things back. You need to pursue these things, and you need to give more attention and your time and your resources to these things, because this is where your full potential is. There may be a bud here, and there may be a bud here, and there may be an outgrowth here, but you need to understand there's certain pieces and there's certain parts that I have created you for. And as the gardener, I determine what needs to grow in your life, and you need to be sensitive to the Spirit as it leads and guides you to prune some things, to cut some things back. Just as cutting off branches bearing no fruit is necessary, so too is the pruning or cutting back of even fruit-bearing branches. You say, well, that's almost doesn't seem right. It's producing fruit. Why prune something that's producing? Because God knows that if we are able and we're willing to allow him to prune, we're going to be even more fruitful. We're going to be better. And I don't know about you, but I'm interested in being better. I am not content with where I am in God. I am not content in this walk in relationship with God. Is it better than it was yesterday? Yes, but I want it to be even better tomorrow. And so I've got to learn how to prune, how to allow the Holy Ghost to lead me and to cut back some things in my life that are detrimental to my growth and detrimental to the potential that God has for me. Nature itself teaches us this principle. Nature itself teaches us this principle. Birds molt. They get rid of feathers so that new feathers can grow and better feathers. A snake will shed its skin so that new skin is there to develop. And even in plants, something is a rose bush. And I got this quote from off the internet, so it's got to be true. Gardening.com. Pruning rose bushes is essential to ensure their healthy growth and development. They have to be pruned. They have to be cut back in order to produce the rose bush. A beautiful rose bush doesn't become a beautiful rose bush all on its own. It takes some care. It takes some time. It takes some effort on our part to determine and to allow the Holy Ghost to help us and lead us into pruning that which needs to be pruned. Whoa, rose bushes and other plants produce more buds than the plant can sustain. And as the plant only has enough resources to feed and nurture so many buds to their full potential. Produces all kinds of buds. But the reality is that if those buds are not pruned and cut back, it's producing more buds than it is able to sustain. Catch it. So nature itself teaches us this pruning principle. Nature itself shows us that in order for us to grow as God would have us to grow, we've got to be willing and able for the pruning process. We've got to come before God and say, God, cut back. Help me understand and know those things in my life that have to be cut back. Those things that are robbing me from my potential. Those things that are keeping me from where you would have me to be. So I've got to be patient with the process, yes, and I've got to allow God to lead me and guide me so that I know where and what to prune in my life. Failing to prune stymies the rest of the plant and keeps healthy buds from reaching full potential. Wow. When I fail to prune, when I fail to allow the Holy Ghost to lead me and guide me to cut back some things in my life, guess what? I am being detrimental to the overall health of the plant. I am stymieing the potential that God has for me. I am choosing to remain average. I am choosing to remain in the state that I am, saying essentially that I don't really want to grow. I'm okay with where I am. I'm all right with this current state in which I exist. Pruning is the process of proactive endings. See, last week we talked about necessary ending, those things that, man, we know it's there, it's been there for some time, it needs to go. But pruning is a proactive ending. Pruning is an understanding that there are things that have to be cut back in order for me to grow and reach the potential that God has for me. And if I don't take the time to make some proactive endings, then it's going to come a long time where it's a necessary ending, where it's just got to go. And if I learn to be proactive in the pruning process, I learn to come before God and say, Lord, I know there's areas in my life that need to be cut back. I know there's areas in my life that you need to help me to prune so that they don't continue to rob from me. And I reach a point where, that moment where it just got to go. I should have been proactive in that ending. I should have ended that a long time ago. And how many times in our humanity have we come to that point where we say, you know what? I should have ended this a long time ago. The Lord dealt with me about this a long time ago, and I wasn't proactive in ending it. Now I see where I got some regret as to why I didn't. And I'm dealing with this now. If I'd have been proactive in ending this, if I'd been proactive in getting rid of this relationship, I'd been proactive in deciding to cut this back, I wouldn't be dealing with the stuff that I'm dealing with now. So let's talk about proactive endings. There are essentially two areas or two proactive endings that I want to focus upon. Those things that are unhealthy and detrimental. Those things that Might have started out good. They might have butted at first, but I realize they're not developing as they should. They're not doing what they should be doing, and they're sickly, and they're stealing resources. Things in my life. How many times have we ventured out into something, and we maybe it's a hobby, or maybe it's something that we realize, man, I've spent a lot more time and effort on this thing, and really more than I should. And it's not really healthy. It's almost stealing from other time, and it's stealing from other things. And we have so many irons in the fire, and we have so many different things that we're dealing with. And we realize, wait a second, it's unhealthy. It's detrimental to my overall health to have all these things going on. And I've got to choose to cut back. I've got to choose to get rid of some things. I've got to choose to prune back so that I can be healthy in other areas, so that those areas of potential can grow. And then there's good but not best. And this one's a tough one. Things that are good, but they're not really the best for me. Things that, as the Apostle Paul may say, they're lawful unto me, but they're really not expedient. They don't profit me anything. It's not that they're bad. It's not that they're sinful. But yet they're not pushing me and prompting me to reach the potential that God has for me. That's why the Bible says, cast off the weight and the sin which does so easy. Sometimes it's not a sin. Sometimes it's just a weight. Sometimes it's just, and it may be even something that we might even think is good, but it's not everything that it should be, and it's not everything that it could be, and it's robbing and it's stealing things. It's good, but it's not best. And so maybe, not always, but maybe this thing that is good, it really doesn't have the potential to be anything better than what it is, and it's never going to be best, so maybe I should just cut away. Maybe I should just get rid of it. So let's talk about these in detail. Good but not best, I would say, is this. It's surviving but not thriving. There is a difference. Surviving, still maybe even growing a little bit, but it's just not thriving. It's not reaching its full potential. It's not blossoming as it could blossom. So let's talk about the unhealthy and the detrimental. Often we spend a lot of time and effort attempting to nurse things to health that we should proactively prune. Now, please understand where I'm coming from with this. I don't want anybody to be offended. I don't want you to misunderstand where I'm coming from in this, but when I was in financial business and I was in estate planning and that sort of stuff, one of the things that we would, and I dealt with a lot of, because of the area that I was in, I dealt with a lot of elderly folks, okay? And so this was kind of a buzz topic, if you will, that we would often bring up in presentations and talk about. It was the issue of long-term care insurance. And in estate planning, we would talk about this many times with individuals who maybe had an elderly parent who was failing in health, and one statistic that stood out to me, and please understand, I'm not condemning, I'm not demeaning an individual that takes the responsibility of being a caregiver to another individual. Please understand this. But when it comes to the family relationship, do you know that up to 70% of all caregivers who are giving care to the elder family member, they decline in health substantially because they are giving care. And I'm not demeaning that. I'm not coming against that in any way, shape, or form. But the statistics and the facts are there that when individuals, and that's why how we would, one of the things that we would do to promote long-term care is that, listen, there's going to come a point in time where this is more than you can take. And it's going to have an adverse effect upon your own health as you attempt to care for the well-being of another individual. It's going to adversely affect you because you're spending all this time and effort and resources. And many times it affects marriages. It affects relationship with kids. It affects all these other relationships in their life. Now, that doesn't mean, please understand this, that doesn't mean you just send them to the old folks' home and forget about them. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misinterpret what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that there are some times in our relationships and dealing with other people that we are the caregiver. giver. We're the one that's giving all the time. And if we're not careful, it becomes a parasitical relationship where that individual just takes and takes and takes, or that relationship or that affinity or that hobby or that thing, it just takes and takes and takes from us. If we're not careful, it'll be detrimental to us. It'll be unhealthy for us. It will have an adverse effect upon us. And sometimes it's necessary to prune it. Sometimes it's necessary. Now, let me just give you a personal experience. At the age of 24, I had the failure to launch syndrome. I was still at home, had my own room, my own bathroom to the room, could have my freedom, flexibility. But all of a sudden, my mom's mom, grandma, wasn't doing so well. And so the decision was made that grandma would come to live with mom and dad, and that meant I was out. Needed to happen a long time before that, but it just so happened at that time. So at the age of 24, I moved out. And my mother attempted to care for my grandmother for, I think, 4 years. She attempted to be the care. There was a few trips to the hospital, some health issues. And my mom reached the point where she realized she could not give the care to my grandmother that my grandmother needed. And so my mother, it was probably one of the hardest decisions of my mother's life, but she made the decision that my grandmother, her mother, needed to go to a nursing home. Now that was a big decision, because that meant my grandmother was going all the way to Ohio. And my mother wasn't going to get to see her, but maybe once or twice a year. But my mother felt that it was necessary to end that caregiver relationship, because my mom didn't have what it took to give the care that my grandmother needed. Now, looking back on that, I can say that my mom made a very wise decision. Not that she didn't love my grandmother. She loved her mother. But my grandmother went on to live 11 years in a nursing home. Do you realize that would have been 15 years of my mother's life spent giving care? Now, please, I know I'm getting some of those looks like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It is not. I realize that my grandmother cared for my mother till she was years 18, 19. I get that. But it's a little different, because as you take a child, that child is becoming more and more dependent. But as you take an elderly person, that elderly person is becoming more and more independent. Or did I get that? I got that backwards. You know what I meant. The child is becoming more and more independent, and the elder is becoming more and more dependent upon the care of the giver. Did I get it right that time? Yeah, okay. See, I did get it right that time. All right, y'all got me confused. The point being is that sometimes in those relationships, we have got to proactively prune. Why? Well, we have this fix-it mentality that says if I spend more time on it, I can get it where it needs to be. If I just spend more time and I put more effort into it, I'm going to eventually fix this thing. I'm going to eventually make this work. I'm eventually going to make this relationship work out. But how often does that truly happen? Does not mean we abandon attempting to help. However, we need to understand there comes a point in time where if it is not pruned, it will hurt that to which is it attached. It becomes that parasitical relationship. Proactive endings of unhealthy and detrimental things will avoid the parasitical relationship, where that individual is, or that relationship, or that thing is continually taking from me, and it's stealing resources. It could be used other places. Painful experience of pruning is less harmful than a prolonged parasitical relationship. Catch that. I know it's not easy. I know sometimes it's hard. It's uncomfortable. And it's, yes, painful. But just because it's hurtful doesn't always mean it's harmful. Catch that. Sometimes it can be hurtful but be helpful. Sometimes not only will it help you, but it'll help that other person. That whole failure to launch syndrome. A lot of times parents don't want to kick the kids out, but sometimes that needs to happen for both the parents and the kid. And though it may be hurtful, in reality, it's helpful. In reality, it forces some things. There's some necessary endings that take place. And I know I've already, I know, as a parent who my oldest is 10 right now, I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do in 8 years? You know, if the Lord tarries and Austin's 18, what do I say? Hey, you know, get on out, or what do I do? I mean, I want to have a plan. I want to have something in place that says, hey, there's got to be some kind of, at some point in time, bud, you're gonna have to fly. Some point in time, you're going to have to spread your wings on your own and do your own thing. What about those good but not best? What about those things that are good, but they're not what they could be? Those things that are good, but they're not really contributing to the overall best that I can be. Pruning the good will help produce the best. Here's the thing, and I know on the surface it may seem kind of odd, but the Bible tells us that he takes those branches that produce fruit and he prunes them so that they produce even more fruit. It's a good branch. Yeah, but it can be better. It's producing fruit. Yeah, but it can produce more fruit. It's doing what it should be doing. Yeah, but it can be doing a lot better. Hey, it's growing, it's surviving. Yeah, but it could be thriving. And so in that understanding that God knows what he's doing, and then if I'm sensitive to the Spirit will lead me to find those things that are good, but they're not best. They're not everything they can be. Sometimes we have a tendency to do a lot of good things, lots of good things instead of a few things really well. I'm preaching myself here. I can't pull my toes under my own pew, but I've even said it. I'm jack of all trades, master of none. I can do all these different things. Well, yeah, well, what do you do really well? I can do all these things. We said, well, how do you qualify? Which is better? Is he jack of all trades, master of none, or is he the master of one and, you know, can't do anything else? I believe there's a balance to some extent, yes. And that balance is found in, okay, God, lead me in to find that balance. He that's striving for the mastery is temperate in all things. He learns how to make that balance. He learns how to find those things that may be good, but they're not contributing to the best. And so I want to be the best that I can be in the areas that really matter. And so I'm going to prune or cut back even some things that may seem good so that the things that have the full potential can be better. Some of us are poster people for lacking in this area of pruning. That's me. I'll tell you. I hope I'm growing. I hope I'm learning. There's some things, and even in my life that I've got to make some strong decisions to prune some things, because though they may be good, they're not best. They're not everything that God has for me. They're not the potential that God really wants in my life. And so I've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and allow God to lead me into pruning those things. That though they're good, they're not everything they can be. So I've got to prune them. Surviving is not the same thing as succeeding. But we have this survival mentality. Well, if I can just survive, I can just make it. If I just tread water, if I can just keep on keeping on, brother, that's what I want to do, is just keep on keeping on. Okay, I get that. But if you just keep on keeping on, and yes, I understand steadfastness and faithfulness and all those. I get all those things. But at what point do I just settle for treading? At what point do I deem that surviving is better than succeeding? I'm just making it. Well, okay, but wouldn't it be better if you did more than just make it? Wouldn't it be better? Well, you know, I don't want to shoot for the stars and fall short. Well, I get that to some extent. You got to be realistic. But at the same point in time, it's a process. At the same point in time, I need to understand that if I just settle here, if I just be like, okay, I'm cool. Right here where I am, I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to mature. I'm not going to reach my full potential in God. Well, it's good. Well, it may be good, but here's the question. Can it be better? Well, it's good. Okay. Can it be better? Well, I guess honest introspection would say, yes, it can be better. Well, then maybe there's some good that needs to be pruned back. Because maybe there's some better that awaits. Maybe succeeding is better than just surviving. But because we reach that mentality where it's just survival is a, for some of us, surviving is succeeding. Careful. Just surviving is succeeding. And unfortunately, some people have reached that area in their walk and relationship with God where just surviving, they feel they're being successful. I knew I was going to get quiet in this one. See, that's my point. Lord, help me to endure the pruning process because I don't want to reach the place in my life where I feel surviving is succeeding. I don't want to reach the place where I'm okay with just surviving. No, I want to thrive. I want to grow. I want to mature in God. And so, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to prune, even though it may hurt, and even though it may seem like it's good, Lord, if it's stealing resources, it would help me bloom in another area or reach my potential where you want me to reach my potential. Well, then, Lord, prune it. Help me be willing to say, Lord, whatever you feel is necessary, please lead me and guide me so that I would take the necessary steps to prune and cut back even some things which may seem good so that I can be better. Good becomes average and full potential is forfeited. Forfeiting, that's a good one. Forfeited, I meant to say. Forfeited for a feeling of survival. Just average, just mediocre. Just, and I mentioned this last week. I don't understand how that people do not have more incentive or more aspiration in life to become better. To be better. Obviously, in this environment, in this atmosphere, I'm speaking in a spiritual sense, but it's that way in a societal sense. How that people are just content. To be entitled, content, and not to make it out, and not to succeed in life, and I don't get that. Where's that aspiration? Where's that drive? Where's that point that says, Lord, whatever it takes for me to mature and grow in you, Lord, that's what I want. Whatever proactive endings need to take place for me to reach my full potential and bloom as you would have me bloom. We see this even in landscaping. How many of you have ever driven by a house and looked at the landscaping and know somebody lives there? Or if somebody, at least somebody's taking time to care for the grounds, somebody's clipping the hedges, somebody's trimming the lawn, somebody. And then how many of you ever driven by another house and the first thought is, man, I wonder if anybody lives there? Weeds everywhere, all grown up, landscaping, nothing's taken care of. Lord, help me understand this principle. See, I want my life to be, and please understand, I want my life to be as spiritually beautiful as it can be. I want to spiritually bloom as bright and as wonderful as God would have me to be. And Lord, I know that that's going to take some pruning. I know that that's going to take some cutting back of some things in my life. In order for me to be what you would have me to be, Lord, help me to be willing to endure the pruning process. All of our resources should be spent on the buds of our lives that have the potential for best. Think about that. What would it be like if I really took all of those resources and I streamlined them and I put them in and focused all the effort and the time and the energy on that thing? Let me ask you this. What would it be like and what would we do? I'm about to make it real. What would we do in our world if all of our resources and all our time and all of our energy was focused on being the very best Christian we could be? And I don't use that term Christian lightly. I'm saying Christ-like. What if I focused all my energy and my resources to being just as much like Jesus Christ as I could be? How would I change my world? How would I change my atmosphere? How would I change the environment around about me? There are some good things that might need pruning if they are not prompting me to my best. Even some good things that just might have to be pruned if they're not prompting me and pushing me to be the best that I can be. And who knows better than my Creator? Who knows better than the one who created me, who formed me? Who knows better what potential I have, what I could blossom into, than the one who created me? And so why would I be unwilling to come before him and say, Lord, whatever you need to prune, prune. Even if on the surface it seems good, Lord, if it's stealing resources from the potential that you have for me, Lord, help me be willing to allow you to cut it back so that I would grow and blossom as you would have me to grow. I'm closing. Pruning the superfluous. Pruning takes away what opposes us reaching our full potential. That's why it's so essential. It takes away what opposes us. It takes away what is stealing, what is robbing the resources from us reaching our full potential. Pruning, while painful, will expedite our growth and aid in the transition. Remember, that's what we're talking about. Transition from good to better to best. Lord, I want to be thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful that you brought me this far, but Lord, I want to be better. Lord, I want to be the best that I can be for you. I want to grow. I want to mature. Often the Holy Ghost will prompt us to prune, and we should believe that this is only to make us better. It's not to hurt us, not to make us feel unwanted or depressed. No, it's because God knows, and it's his will that we be changed into his image from glory to glory. Sometimes that change happens as a result. That transition happens as a result of me being led of the Holy Ghost and proactively pruning some things in my life. You may stand. I almost said this, but I wasn't gonna take it this far, but I'm gonna say it anyhow. How important is pruning to God? How essential? How does God look at cutting back or cutting away? Now, I understand that this is not really in reference to what we're talking about, so forgive me if you feel I've taken it out of context, but the Bible says if your right hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it's better to enter into heaven having one hand than enter hellfire with both. How important, how essential. I know that maybe you say, whoa, man, you just really took that to the opposite end of the spectrum here at the end. But is not God serious about the reality of those things? Listen, if your right hand offend thee, cut it off. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form advocating self-mutilation. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the pruning process is important to God because he knows our full potential. He knows our ability to blossom. And so it's his will that we allow him, the prompting of the Holy Ghost, to prune, to cut back some things. Yeah, I know lesson one. The good begins where the bad ends. But if I want the good to get better, catch this. If I want the good to get better, I realize I cut some things off. Bad's done. Good begins. But now I want the good to get better. And so now I proactively end some things. Now I allow God, through the leading of the Holy Ghost, to prune some things in my life so that I transition from good to better to best. If there are things in my life which on the surface may seem good, but they're robbing me from my full potential in God, maybe, just maybe, it's something that needs to be pruned. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you. Lord, I know words I've said tonight. Lord, I know that on the surface sometimes they're difficult. God, to understand that even in our times in which we live, God, that there are still things that we can do as we grow, mature in our walk and relationship with you, God. The new birth is just the beginning, and now we grow up in Christ, God. We grow up into you, into all things, God. We allow you to do your work in us and through us, God, that you would prune, God, that we would allow your spirit to lead and guide us, to cut back those things, God, just to be stealing resources, time, talent, treasure, God, that could be orchestrated, could be focused upon you and your will for us. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. Next week we're going to talk about, because here's the thing. There's necessary endings, there's proactive endings, but how do we know? What's that point in time? Where's that moment when we make that end? Where's that moment when we cut back or we cut off? Well, maybe next week we'll have a little better understanding as to when we do that. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.